preview.
Coach Redberry, how are you, sir?
I tell you, I'm great, even though it's raining in the humid subtropics in the Banana Republic, Miami.
Right.
Let's play two. It's a great day for baseball, like Ernie Banks used
That's
to
right.
say.
Mr. Cub.
You were with the Cubs,
That's
you
right.
know.
That's, I love that guy. So we're going to talk a little bit. This is episode 91, I think. Right, Denise? 91?
I think so.
Almost to 100 episodes.
Number two for the Red Dog.
That's right. And we're going to be doing Tuesday and Thursdays at 2 p.m. It's a Red and Tommy show, or the Tommy and Red show, or the Red Hot, whatever you want to call
Tommy
it.
Tommy and Red, and
I like it.
God willing,
it's going to be good.
We'll be here.
That's it. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the Marlins, the first couple picks that they had. Pablo's amazing outing on Sunday, which I got to actually be there and watch. And it's pretty crazy because I heard after the fact that he didn't even realize that he'd broken the record until after the game was over, which is how dialed in he was.
Yeah, there's stats on everything. How many times you go to the toilet, I mean,
right.
during the game. That's the thing about baseball.
Right. How many pieces of bubble gum they put in their mouth?
Yeah. You know, it's a game that goes way, way back, and a lot of info.
Right. So, look, it's not like that hadn't been done before. DeGrom did it, and then a couple other guys did it. But that record was pretty relatively new record that got set back in, what, 86, Jim Deshays did it at 8 in a row.
And that's to start a game out.
Yep, and then DeGrom matched that in 2014, and then German Marquez did the same thing three years ago. So, but nobody had ever done 9 in the modern era.
It's amazing, all without a breaking ball.
Yep.
So kids out there, learn how to throw a changeup with your fastball. And don't worry if you don't have a breaking ball. Here's Pablo Lopez, K-ing 9 guys in a row without a breaking ball. I think I saw him throw one wide, out-of-control slider during that time. Mm-hmm. But if you have the arm speed and the same arm speed as your fastball from the same slot, the changeup's a great pitch because, if I may say, the secret of hitting is timing, and the secret of pitching should be to disrupt that timing.
That's exactly right. And he did a heck of a job. And then I think he, as he got into the middle part of that game, he struggled a little bit, but it didn't matter. The bats were warm. Jose Aguilar with that big 3-run homer. And then we just kept knocking runs in to stay ahead of them.
Right. Going the third time around in the big leagues without a breaking ball is tough.
That's for sure. Well, let's talk quickly about the two guys, the first two guys that the Marlins took in the draft. Started on the 11th. Today is the last day. So Thursday we're going to get a chance to talk. And maybe we'll just pepper through that list of guys. And I'll pick a couple that I really like, and you can pick a couple, and we'll talk about them on Thursday. But Khalil Watson, the kid from North Carolina, already been recruited by North Carolina State to play there, which has a pretty dang good program, as we discovered.
For sure.
And then Arkansas found out that being a number one seed really didn't mean that much either when they had to face NC State. So. So that kid's being recruited really super fast. I think he did a 6.65 60-yard dash, which really elevated him into the top 4 or 5 guys in the draft. And then we really got a bargain getting him at 16.
At 60-yard dash, average major league time is 6.9. So this guy ran a 6.5.
6.65.
But he's a burner.
Yeah.
And, he was categorized as a steal by the panel. because he was expected to go at number four. Shortstop, and gosh darn it, in the 70s, Itchy Jones at Southern Illinois, Carbondale, the Salukis, used to recruit nothing but shortstops. He'd make catchers out of them, second basemen, center fielders, even pitchers. He had one guy just with the Blue Jays that pitched. So they're great athletes, shortstops.
Yep. And then we got in that competitive balance, extra pick that we got at 32, Joe Mack, who I think is an outstanding catcher, a bit much bigger kid than Watson, but I think he's going to be able to contribute pretty quickly.
He's the best high school catcher in America as far as draft eligibility goes. And real mature kid, real personable, seems to be ready to go to work. And the Marlins had to draft a catcher.
Right.
We need a young catcher to come up in the organization.
Here's a question I always wanted to ask a coach when he's talking to the parents, because you've talked to parents of kids that have gotten drafted, and then maybe they were also had thought about, I'm going to really want to maybe play college ball. What is that decision-making process like? Because both of these guys, these first two guys, you got one, Watson, with North Carolina State, and then Mac had already committed to play at Clemson. What are those? What does that process look like, and how fast do they have to make a choice?
Well, they can wait a month, 2 months before signing, before they report to college. But the thing is, they're offered over $3 million in slot money. And if you're a first-round pick, picks 1 through 32, it's tough to turn the money down.
Right.
But it's also tough not to have the college experience.
Right.
To get the interaction, to live away from home, to learn from the greatest teachers in the game that are in college. You know, guys like Charlie Green that were in there 30 years. Skip Bertman at LSU, the best baseball mind of any in any level that I've ever met. To play for guys like that, O'Sullivan at Florida, Avant at NC State that you mentioned. It's hard, but it's tough to turn down first round money.
Yeah.
But it depends on the philosophies of the parents too.
Right.
Some parents might say, well, their junior, he's going to be better when he's a junior. You know, he'll be a first rounder then. But it's a gamble.
Right,
when
right.
You're a first rounder.
Right, right. And you see some of these kids have been drafted multiple times and then not accepted the
well,
the
a
offer.
Lot of them are drafted in the 40th round, the 30th
right.
round out of high school, and then they do much better after their junior year in college.
Right, right. I would think that there's the real dilemma is, okay, I'm going to play another 4 years of college or 3 years of college. Now there's a risk of injury. Number
true.
One. And then I'm giving up that money. So
very true.
Right. And hey, how can you have to think about it. What are my real chances of a guy that's going to get in the fifth or sixth round of making the bigs? Probably not as good. So he maybe ought to go to school and get that degree. And at least you got something to fall back on if you don't make the show.
Right. But if you're a Cuban American parent, and you've got little baseballs in your bloodstream.
Yep.
If that kid is drafted anywhere in a decent round, he's signing.
Right.
Because that's a great mark of succeeding.
Right, right.
For Cuban American parents. I always said probably the worst thing to happen in Miami was A-Rod being the number one choice and getting all that money. Now every Latino parent thinks their little kid's going to be another A-Rod.
Right, right.
Even when he can't walk and chew gum at the same time.
Right, right, right.
They're spending his bonus money.
Right, right. So we were talking about on the way before the show. I know you didn't really watch the Home Run Derby.
Yes.
And that's because you think that that it's changing the way the game is played. Forth
from the 1933 black and white Godzilla.
Right.
The first one.
Right.
No, Mighty Joe Young, I'm sorry. The first one made in 1933, Denise. I'm watching that and switching over to Home Run Derby.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of Derby.
I think the reason that it was so enticing and exciting was because of the Japanese kid Ohtani.
Sure.
Because that's never happened before, where you've got a guy that's going to be the starting pitcher and leading off a DH.
Yes.
And that kid can smash the ball.
He's a monster.
Yeah. He's
a phenom. He is the Godzilla.
Right. For real.
He's for real. Something.
And I encourage people to get out there and watch the 60-minute interview. I think you can watch it on YouTube that he did like 10 or 15 days ago. That's now, the kid's me, super
does he,
humble.
Does he speak any English at all?
I think he can maybe a little bit of baseball talk to the guys that he plays with. But he's got a translator in the dugout and everywhere he goes, so.
I'd release the translator.
Yeah, I'd make him learn the hard way.
I'd give him his pink slip.
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty sweet job. If I knew Japanese, that would be the greatest job ever.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd eat a lot of good sushi.
Yep, I'd get to be with Mike Trout and Joe Maddon and all those guys.
Yeah, and their rotten pitching staff,
That's it. That takes us to the next point, which we were going to talk about. We're at the midway point now, All-Star break. What are some of the surprises in how things have turned out so far?
Okay, before we get into that, I just want to congratulate on behalf of our staff, Adrian Del Castillo, Miami catcher that was drafted, Tommy, in the second round.
Yep, second round. He went to the Diamondbacks.
Okay, he's a catcher, left-handed hitter, had a tough year, a lot of pressure on him, and I'm happy that he was drafted high. He's a hard-working young man.
Right.
Okay, now you want to talk about the first half, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Surprise
me on the phone. I don't think I turned my phone off. So
well, hopefully one of your 25 girlfriends isn't going to call.
Well, you know what I got? my nickname's the Red Dog, so I got a bark for a ring, and I don't want that to go off, Denise.
Right.
I'll tell you what. Let's go the American League first of all.
Okay.
I predicted the Yankees to win it. Now, there's half a season to go, but they look dead in the water to me, Tommy.
Yeah.
And I never figured the Red Sox would pitch the way they've pitched this season.
Yep, they look good.
Yeah, I picked Tampa Bay for second, but who knows? Toronto may be better than Tampa Bay if they get a little bit better pitching.
Yeah. They got the bats. They just don't have any
bullpen. They got the bats. They got the leather. They got the kid from South Dade who went to West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Pitched for Freddie Burnside at South Dade High. Moani or Moano.
Yeah.
Good-looking kid. But we'll see. In the Central, I picked the White Sox. They're hanging on, but now they've lost Grandal to getting Jimenez back. They lost Robert, had a lot of injuries. But the Miami kid, mm-hmm. the UM kid, Zach Collins, who's got a Jewish mama, which that makes him a real good prospect.
Right.
And he steps into the number one catching spot, and he's been doing a good job spelling for Grandal, but they'll miss Grandal. In the West of the American League, I picked the Astros, and they're in first place.
Yeah.
So I'm 2-for-3. Oakland's in second.
Yeah, I still kind of like them, but I don't know if can they make it to the end of the season?
Yeah, I don't think they're as good as the Astros.
Right.
Even though there's no more garbage cans to pound.
Right, right.
For the Astros.
Ironically, the three guys that made the All-Star team decided to opt out because of maybe some of the intimidation and the booze and the kind of fan reaction and some of those Yankee reactions, the guys that are on the All-Star team as well. So Correa, Brantley, and Altuve all opted out. They're not going to play in the game, even though they were selected by the fans.
Altuve has a leg injury.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know about Brantley. He's a great hitter. And who is the other one?
Carlos Correa.
His wife is having her first child. So I don't think they're afraid of the jeers.
Not really?
Nah, not anymore. Not anymore. Dusty Baker should be manager of the year in the American League.
Yeah.
The job he's done with the Astros.
Yeah.
Old school, terrific guy.
Yeah.
Now we'll move over to the National League. I zipped out in the National League because I picked the Braves.
Yeah.
And I still thought they had a shot until Acuna got hurt. That's
right.
A bad injury.
Right. And then they had the other guy, the Ozuna, that got into some trouble early on in the season.
Domestic problems. They lost Soroka.
Yeah.
Their ace again. But they got a Jewish lefty in the first slot, so they got a shot. But I don't think without Acuna they can do it. I never thought the Mets would pitch past DeGrom.
Right. What about the Phillies? Do you think the Phillies got a chance?
No, I don't think their pitching is their bullpen is that good.
Right. Well, we're going to get to see them come Friday. We're going to be up there in Philadelphia, the Marlins, for a three-game series.
True. And Tommy in the Central, I picked the Brewers to win it, and they're in first. The Cardinals, I finished in second. They're in fourth place, really struggling, two games under. And who coulda, shoulda, woulda picked the Giants to be in first place in the West?
Nobody.
But yeah, they're only the Dodgers are only two out. I picked the Dodgers. So I personally think there'll be three ball clubs in the playoffs in the five spots from the West. I think there'll be the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of the other two divisions will have anything but the winners. That's just my opinion.
Right. And then you were telling me you had some funny stories about Steinbrenner and then the trip to Taiwan that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, if you want to get into that.
Yeah, do it.
I'd be happy to
do it, because we're short for material because we're on All-Star break right now.
No.
I'm just coming up with stuff.
We're never short on the Tommy and Rich.
That's right.
There's no hill for a climber.
That's right.
I grew up with a kid that I played Little League with, high school with. We were both All-City at Miami High. Him at second base and me at first. He became a gangster, but he said there's no hill for a climber.
That's right.
So he also said you BS the baker, you get a bun. You BS the red dog, you get none, which means you better speak with a straight tongue out there and speak the truth.
That's it.
Well, I'll tell you a story about the boss, George Steinbrenner. People are always ripping him, you know. He's a braggart like Trump. He fires people. He fired Billy Martin a plethora of time. If I can use a fancy word, you know, I have a master's degree, but forget that. That's in physical education, but that's okay. Anyway, they're always ripping the boss. But I'll tell you a personal story I had with George Steinbrenner. When I was the head coach of non-funded Biscayne College in 78 and 79, I was coming back from bringing my son, Matt, from a visit to Georgia Southern College. And we were passing the Gainesville area. And Steinbrenner was on the halftime show being interviewed. And he had a daughter at Florida. University of Florida. And every college coach tried to recruit his daughters, because whenever a daughter went in their school, the boss would donate money. He donated batting cage with lights at USF. He donated other things at Gainesville. So they had him on, and he's talking about college baseball, how important it is in the developmental process of big league ball. So I got home and I wrote him a letter on Biscayne College stationery. I said, "Dear Mr. Steinbrenner, I really enjoyed your comments on college baseball and appreciate your support. There are some programs out there like ours at Biscayne College that can't afford a batting machine," which is true. "And I really appreciate the fact that you support college baseball. Sincerely, Redberry." 10 days later, I get a phone call from Jack Butterfield, who was the father of the third base coach for the Angels, Butterfield, or is it the Cubs? I forget. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, "Mr. Steinbrenner got your letter. And in the mail, you're getting an Aztec Casey batting machine and 5 dozen baseballs. But there's one prerequisite. You can't tell anybody about it." And in the mail, UPS or whatever, came this state-of-the-art, the best of all the batting machines, probably cost about $3,000, with the dimple balls for my ball club. And I tell the story now because he's passed, as an example of his philanthropy and the kind of guy he was. He did a lot of things and didn't get credit
for it. And maybe he didn't want to.
Right. And he also dated, here's a hot one, Barbara Walters.
Wow. She was something before electricity.
While he was hitched.
Oh, wow.
This is some underlying info.
The underbelly that only Redberry knows.
That was his story, and I've always thought the world about him, you know.
Hey, do you want to talk about your Miami baseball forum and what you guys got a...
We got a message tomorrow.
Okay.
Number 66, I believe, that I send out every Wednesday on Berry's 11, the number 11, at Comcast.net. And... you can send me your email. I'll put you on the list. You'll get all of our messages. Love to have you.
So tell me how a young coach, an up-and-coming coach that's maybe coaching Little League or Senior Ball or Pony League or whatever, Legion Ball, is going to benefit from all those collective knowledge of all those coaches.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like that would be invaluable. Why wouldn't some guy want to do that?
We have a luncheon. So we'll reconvene the first Wednesday of every month at Duffy's at noon. Goes till about two in the afternoon. And we eat, and we always have a special guest. And it's a question and answer thing. We talk baseball, and you get to meet a lot of ex-scouts, ex-high school and college coaches, fans, good people. You can network. From a business standpoint, it's really good. We have a lot of laughs, and I chair it, and we're happy to meet new members. And, of course, we line up the walkers. It's like a parking lot at Duffy's with the walkers, guys pushing those. But not everybody's on oxygen.
All right.
I'm not. And we have guys that are able to do a Heimlich if anybody chokes on their lunch.
Right. Perfect.
If anybody chokes. But like on September 1st, we have a 3-man panel. We have 150 years of baseball coaching. Me, Charlie Green, who is our amateuritis, he says he doesn't have arthritis. He's a guy that was 30 years the coach at Dade South, and he also was a pitching coach in the minor leagues for the Cubs, Mets, and Padres. And Steve Hertz, who coached one of the pro teams in Israel. They had a four-team pro league experiment there. He also has worked with the Israeli national team. He was the coach at Miami-Dade downtown and Dade South, great high school coach, great hitting coach, and was a guy that went from high school as a bonus baby to the Houston Colt 45s in the early 60s. And we're going to do a panel based on our pro experiences only. So, you know, I was a minor league general manager in 1970 for the Philadelphia Phillies ball club at Spartanburg in the Western Carolinas League, Class A, deep in the Bush Leagues, where I did everything from ordered toilet paper to
release
ball players, to push the bus,
right,
to jump on the radio when the announcer had diarrhea.
Right.
I mean, when I looked at my person that was handling the electronics in the booth, and I said to him, "Is it raining out?" And he wrote on the board, "It's a guy peeing, a drunk on the side of the press box."
Only in minor league baseball.
I have stories in Spartanburg that I'll get into. That I went from a 30-year-old head high school coach and history at Coral Park to the general manager in pro ball. Just jumped right to it, to the winter meetings, which I'll talk about in the future also.
Right on.
I don't know how much time we have.
We got a couple minutes. Okay. We got a couple minutes. So I say Thursday we're going to do, let's do a season, you know, second half season preview. What we Good. Think is going to be with the Marlins, if we think there's going to be any trades before the trade deadline, and maybe some guys that we want to see come up.
Good. I'm sure you have
Max Meyer or Jake Eater, either one of those guys, maybe before the end of the season.
I didn't like the looks of Max Meyer in the futures game. Mm-hmm. He threw to two hitters, but I only saw 94.
Right.
I don't know.
But do you think a kid being on that big stage and it might have a little bit of nerves and a little bit of...
I think in this day and age, they're all reaching down and blowing smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we'll see.
But he's been really outstanding at Pensacola, so it might just be a fluke that he had an off day, because that happens sometimes.
Yeah, and of course, Eder has the best ERA in the minors.
Right.
We talked about that. But whatever you want to talk about, my man, you're my main man.
I'm looking forward
to
it.
I'm your guest.
Well, I don't know about all that. How about co-host?
Well, let's see. Let me earn it.
Okay, you got it. So, All-Star game tonight, 7:30 on Fox. Showtime, your boy Ohtani's going to be starting against Scherzer. I think it's going to be a heck of a matchup. Both the lineups are stacked. It's hard to, I mean, as a betting man, and I'm not really, but if I was going to bet the game, that's a tough one to bet. Yeah. But I guarantee it's going to be a lot of runs scored.
With that Colorado air.
That's it. A lot of runs are going to be scored.
Those people have suffered so long with bad ball clubs.
Yep, they have. They had a couple times where they almost did it.
Although I feel bad for Atlanta getting this game switched.
Yeah.
And Hank Aaron's memory.
Yep.
Not right in my humble opinion, folks.
But maybe they'll bring it back there next season, or they'll come up with another way to
well, next know, honor, season, honor I think Hammer it's and going Hank. To L.A. But, you know, what can you do? I'm a Trumpster. What can I say? I can only speak the truth.
See, that's why we get along, because I'm just the opposite. So it works out. You got to have balance. You got to have balance. So 7:30 tonight on Fox, the All-Star game. I'll be watching. You'll be watching. And then we'll reconvene on Thursday back again at 2 o'clock. Talk about the rest of the draft picks that the Marlins got. We'll pick a couple that we want to highlight. And then maybe do a little season preview for the second half.
And tonight, when I go back to baseball heaven, which they call my condo, I'll be lighting up a good cigar and thinking about you.
Tommy. There you go, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, episode 91. Can't believe we've done this many. Thought we'd be fired by now for sure. All right, it's in the books. No M to flip tonight, but let's go. Let's go National League.
Well, I don't care who wins. I just hope nobody gets hurt.
That's for sure.
You know.
That's for sure.
I can't really. We're off the air.
Not right? yet.
Oh.
We are as soon as Denise pushes the button. All right.
Preview.